And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not
afraid. Yep, unafeared here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, A from the BEA Beautiful Studios of Freedoms from the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. All right, well, we have some interesting stories that we're putting up now. People are sending them, looking at and going, damn, that's a damn, and God damn. Now, it's just, man, I tell you. It's just an interesting stuff that is, you know, one thing that's got a lot of the press all nutted up. I don't know which way they're going to go. And even Rachel Maddow had some things kind of, there's no principle involved. And their credibility goes to crap because there's no consistency. There's no continuity of thought. There's no, you can't expect them to say, it's just, well, what did Trump say? So we'll say it's something else. I mean, that kind of crap. The indictment of Assange is a blueprint for making journalists into felons. The First Amendment is meaningless if it only protects people the government recognizes as journalists. See, they're going, well, see, he didn't have First Amendment protection because he's not a journalist, because we said. And I always understood that to be crap from the beginning. In the mid-90s, we were doing our newspaper and so on. This story deserves telling. It'll get in us into Bilderberger too. We're going, all right, you go to the Senate press room is what they called it. They have now at the Arizona State Capitol, you have the Capitol building, which is the old one. They had a new thing to it with the higher floors of, it's got the copper dome on it. And then they had a, you know, right next to it, you know, attached to it, has a higher, I don't know, it goes up 10 floors or something like that. And that's where the governor's office is on top of that. So you go into the new building, that's where all the offices, you got to have bureaucracy, man. You got all kinds of offices, everybody's got an office. And then you had the old building, then you had two newer buildings to where they housed the House was one building, and then across the plaza there is the Senate, and it has its own building. Now, because there are twice as many House of Representatives, there's for each district, they have 30 districts in Arizona legislative district. So you have two House representatives and one senator. So you have twice as many, you got 90 legislators. You got 60 over in this one building and 30 in the other one. But they're the Senate, you know, and they got fewer. So I don't know, it doesn't make a difference either way, doesn't matter. So you have the Senate, because they have pretty much the same size building or two mere buildings, that has more room because it has, you know, fewer legislators. Well, in the first floor, there's, when you walk into the lobby area and you have, like, there's a big dais there, you know, big counter that has, you know, hard copies of legislation, or you got the security there, you know, the two entrances that go the stairs, you go to the gallery, you can get up there to look into the chamber as they're doing, so you can watch or protest or whatever the hell you want to do. And then they have the offices, of course, on different floors. On the first floor, you go down there, and if it's act like you know what you're doing, you just walk. They don't stop you. You just, you know, go. Well, on the left there, they'll have this one smaller room. It's probably like 10 by 15. It, you know, has room for like three or four desks in there. And that is the broadcast news. So generally you don't have TV there, but sometimes they'll use it to charge your crap, or they'll be there. That'll be kind of their staging thing. But, you know, it's usually just two to four reporters or guys that work for the radio stations. So you have talk radio, KTAR in there, and KFYI, the Clear Channel guys, and maybe somebody out there. They're broadcast. Well, how do they get in there? Who determines this? Then you go down the hall one more door, and then you have, it's about the size of a classroom, maybe 1.5 classrooms, about the size of an elementary classroom, maybe a little bit bigger. And in there, you'll have desks everywhere, these old World War II freaking super desks with file cabinet drawers and, you know, metal of, you know, they ain't going anywhere. So, excuse me, you'll have probably at least 15, 20 reporters in there. So, and it's gotten less and less and less. Now you go in there, maybe 6 or something like that. But, you know, that is the real hub of reporting for the state capitol, and they'll have satellite desks there from somebody from Tucson, or you'll have one desk that's shared by 3 little, you know, publications or something like that. But they all had drawers, and it would be when somebody from a department of who gives a crap comes down with some press release or an announcement, or there's legislation that's a big deal, or they want to just, you know, and they're looking for something to write on. All right, let's go over to the rip and read stack over here, and we'll just, you know, rerun, you know, I got Phil, I got dinner tonight, and I want to have him see my son's, you know, Little League game or something, whatever, you know, make their job easier. They go over, and they would look at, and they'd have, all right, the Arizona Republic, the Phoenix Gazette, the East Valley Tribune, the New Times, the this, the that, the Tucson Sentinel, Tucson Citizen, Tucson Star, Tucson, you know, so they have all these different drawers. So we're going, you know, we really don't need to, you know, come down and waste time with you guys, but we would like to have one of those drawers. We put Citizens Take Initiative, CTI, our newspaper, and then became the Arizona Libertarian. And what I go, yeah, I want that drawer. I want to see what you guys are, you know, the crap. I knew it'd be crap. But my point was, I just go, how are you guys able to get that cabinet, that drawer, that desk? Who makes that determination? Who's the journalist here? Who decides a journalist? What is the criteria for a journalist? Well, you have regular publication. Okay. We got regular publication. We got our newspaper. We do it about every 6 weeks. Well, you know, it needs to be at least every month. Okay. We'll do it for 3 months in a row. We did it, you know, every 4 weeks. There. Now what? Okay. Now let's get down to the nitty gritty. How does this work? Come to find out, there was a representative of the media, was a guy named Bob Scott. He was a reporter for KTAR, one of the, you know, old-timey, been around talk radio, Howdy Neighbor radio stations. He was the guy. So Bob Scott would negotiate with whom? The president of the Senate. At the time, it was John Green. Now, he later would run for AG and do kind of them, and he had all kinds of issues. And no. So, got a long story about that. But what happened was, you would have a representative of the media, Bob Scott, would negotiate with the president of the Senate on who got credentialed, who could be considered a Capitol journalist or a reporter, or got the, you know, the special badge of whatever the hell it was that they were doing. So we just kept pressing this, doing freedom of information request. How does this work? What are the criteria? What is happening? You know, it just keeps going. They just keep making it up as they go along. They just keep making it up. So I'm going, you guys just do what you want to do, right? Well, yeah, well, some criteria of, you know, pretty much what we want. Well, then when we would do, there's a, as a courtesy, we would inform them that we would, you know, we're going to be here doing a rally. We're going to be at the Wesley Bowen Park, which is a kind of the state park there across the street from it. And who has control over the, it was the president of the Senate. They all came down to the president of the Senate. They decided. So I go, really? So we got the government deciding who can cover them. All right. Well, we're going to be here doing that. Well, you can't. I go, oh, no, we're not asking permission. As a courtesy, we are informing you, here the freaking we come and arrest us. Because this is going to happen. So that's how we approached it. We just did it. And I go, so now when they're going with this indictment of Assange, a blueprint for making journalists felons, it's all coming down to who the government determines is and is not a journalist. And I'm like, man, can you fog this mirror? You're a freaking journalist. This is, so This is going to start being a bigger issue worldwide.
From the fifth letter of Captain Mark, first contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay. This is what I get this Bilderberger thing out of the way, because there's a bunch of other stuff that segues into this. Let's take a look at it. Bilderberg 2019, full agenda and participants list after this European Union vote for memberships of over the weekend. It went like Thursday through Sunday. I mean, it's done now. And it looks like a big, giant, whopping chunk of "we don't like the European Union" candidates got in, and let's just dissolve the damn thing. How are they going to do that? I have no idea. We'll see how that works out. But there has been a major upheaval. It's been the nationalists. It's certainly what Dr. Frank is going on about. It's like, yeah, the people, populism, nationalism. And you think I should be excited, and I'm not. I mean, I don't care how or who ruled. They never get down to the individual of "I'm just leave me aloneism." You know, it's all, you're going to be ruled. But we're going to do it locally and closer, and 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away instead of one tyrant 3,000 miles away, kind of thing. And in the Game of Thrones, at the very at the end of it, there had one of the noble guys gets up and he says, you know, instead of a hereditary king or kind of, you know, elected of the king, if we're going to select a king, let's let all the people vote for the king. We'll just have the, and they silent for a while. They look at him, they all go, that's crazy stupid. Well, it might be, but, you know, so they go, nah, we're the nobles, we'll decide. We're the senators, we'll make the law. We're the president, I'll decide whether to veto or not. I mean, there's always going to be some kind of government. And I'm just going, but I'd like it to be governed down to the purpose of government is what? To have a bigger government? No, it was the protection of the rights of the individual. It's to protect. It's always been that, or at least the promise of that. Yeah, whenever we're under siege, where you just come in the walls and we'll take care of you. We'll defend the walls. We'll make sure you don't get dead by the galloping hordes of Genghis Khan or something. You know, you're a Roman citizen. The Pax Romania, you know, this hundreds of years of peace of whatever. Yeah, it was hundreds of years of rule, you know. So if you got peace for that long, usually it's probably because they left you alone. Sooner or later, there's going to be a rising up, and down to the, you know, free will and I own myself and the Christians, those damn Christians out there being, you know, answering to a higher authority and being free and stuff, you know, in their head. They're so freaking not allowed. So there's a lot of things like that that hasn't. That's one reason why Christianity, I think, is a threat. You know, they'll sit there and prayer rug the teacher in the middle of class all you want, but God forbid you say Merry Christmas to somebody, you get shot. You know, so it's just this double standard, this inconsistency is not lost on kids. It wasn't lost on me. I'm just going, God, this is just stupid. You know, who's the stupid? Who's the person in charge of stupid? Who's the stupid head? Who's the shiny badge wearer of, you know, we're going to implement stupid? Then you find out it's, you know, it's us. We're letting them do it. You know, all right. So this Bilderberg thing, as much as it would go more conservative or national or local interest, or we get to make our own laws, or you don't get to determine, or something, until they get down to the purpose of even that smaller government, that country, that local jurisdiction is there to protect the rights of the individual to do whatever the hell they want as long as they're not bothering anybody, then I'm like, then why do I'm just voting for better slavery or something? I don't care. They're not that the option that I want to vote on is not even there. Oh, you had a chance to vote for the type of enslavement that you had. You're not allowed to bitch. Now you had a chance to vote for your slave master. Now, which slave master you got, and you didn't vote for him, so you don't get the bitch. Do I get a choice of not having one? Or, you know, like a Bumper Hornberger campaign. You know, this is going to be interesting. This is going to be interesting. Because Bumper is the purpose of government, defense of individual rights. Okay, we got this government. Now what? It's, you know, this democratically elected constitutional republic that is there to defend the rights of the individual. That is the point. That is the charter. That's the promise. That's all the, you know, Federalist Papers and anti-Federalists arguing with them that would not say, oh, no, yeah, we'll do blah, 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 blah. And then you get the Supreme Court to come in. They'll say, yeah, but we want to do this because we want to do this. And principle be damned and original intent. It doesn't matter. And it's a new day in a living constitution of you're going to get ruled and we're going to do it better this way. You know, so whenever they're going, well, aren't you glad Trump's there rather than Hillary? What's the difference? I mean, you know, one may be better, but they didn't really give me the option that I wanted. How about none of y'all are in charge of me and my family? You take care of that border thing. You want to go play border and armies of borders and nobody in borders? You know, at least you can kind of justify that a little bit, but and then you're going to what? Get in the way of my right to be able to trade with whomever I want or marry whoever I want from anywhere in the planet I want? Am I allowed to leave? Am I allowed to come back? You know what? What are my individual rights? You see my point? So everybody gets on my ass. I get a lot of pressure from people. They go, yeah, but Ernie, you didn't vote. Vote for what? Slave master du jour? Am I allowed not to care? I choose not to do that. I don't care. I'm not going to select my enslaver. Yeah, I'm free. I got to pick who held the whip. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And what really doesn't make sense is that they think I'm not making sense. I'm going, wow. So you're saying that freedom is the freedom to choose your master. Now, see, the United States had a lot more credibility, certainly around the world and even with ourselves, because we were under the illusion that we're free. But the documents and the celebrations, 4th of July, man, it's going to be, woohoo, it's going to be big. Trump's going to do it. Melania's going to have a nice sparkly dress, I guarantee it. Might even have Ivanka up there doing some cool thing. You know what it's going to be? Ivanka's going to spin around like in Hunger Games, and it's going to be a flaming dress. Be sparkly. They'll have like fireworks and stuff. Yeah, sure. Now, amongst all of this, Bilderberg, 2019. What are they doing? They're going to go to Montreux, M-O-N-T-R-E-U-X. Probably Montreux, Switzerland. All right. 67th. Bilderberg meeting take place 30 of May to 2nd of June. So what is that? Tomorrow? What is today? Oh, is it the 21st is today? Yeah, I thought it was 29th. That says 21 up there. I don't know why it's in. So 29th, so tomorrow. So tomorrow we had the Bilderberger and it goes to the 2nd of June. So that means through this weekend, I guess. The 67th Bilderberg meeting will take place 30 May, 2nd June, Montreux, Switzerland. About 130 participants from 23 countries have confirmed their attendance. As ever, a diverse group of political leaders and experts from industry, finance, academia, labor, and the media has been invited. When we come back, I'll tell you what they're going to talk about, what's on their agenda. I'll tell you what's really on their agenda. Rue me.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agrist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with AgristHosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agrist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to AgristHosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's AgristHosting.com.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Now I'm back. I was talking to Derek about the IPFS thing. We're going to have James Corbett on tonight, and he's going, yeah, it's getting more sketchy. The IPFS, he and his listeners, it's not coming up. It's there. All the data's there. It's a gateway or something. There's going to be, see, I need to know because I know that there's going to be vectors that they, them, those are going to, you're not allowed. There's some choke point. There's some bottleneck. There's some something or something. And it's the gateways of being it. The data's there. And then it's like the naming system Derek was saying. You do it in the publishing of the name of the file. Could take, 20 seconds or 12 hours. So what does it need? Does it need more nodes? Does it need more servers? Well, we'll do that. Is that the problem? Well, I don't know. I'll talk to him again later after the show. But the I'm looking now, I'm going, yeah, we have the data. We've got it saved over, and it's on a network that we can use. Go, okay. But accessing of that network is where the problem is. Okay, because what? Because inherently in the design, in the system, is it being attacked? Is it, where they go, hell no, we're not letting them build another internet of hell no. I need to know. And what about satellites? What if we bypass the entire thing and Elon just put up 60 satellites and he's got, the first plans for the first 400, then it's going to be up to 12,000. Now here we freaking go. It's a battle royale. Bring it on. Which is stuff that I guarantee they're talking about at Bilderberg 2019. All right, here's their agenda. Now, the thing is that they have key leaders, political leaders, whatever the hell that means, experts from industry, finance, academia, labor, and media. Labor. What does that mean? Are these unions? When they say labor, who represents labor? I don't represent my own labor. I sign that away too to somebody. Who the hell's labor? What does that even mean? I think in the break, I'll go look that up later. Let me mark this because I like this labor. Who the hell is that? They not only they, represent my country and my this and my that, my labor. Bilderberg labor, which is probably has a lot to do with immigration. They're going, yeah, we need cheap, unskilled labor. We need a lot of labor, damn it. Robots cost a lot up front. Let's see. Key topics discussion this year are number one, a stable strategic order. What the hell does that mean? Stable strategic. Strategic is like the definition between strategic and tactical. I looked this up before. Strategic is more like the means of production, like your factories and, where you base your stuff. Tactical is what was produced by the strategic and how it's implemented in the field. So you got a tactical weapon. This is kind of a field weapon. Then you have strategic is, I guess, what made it. I think. I'll go check, make sure. But if they're talking about a stable strategic order, they're talking about their home base. We need to have, a stable strategic factories in place, people kind of in countries and be stable. But you're probably talking about banking. What next for Europe? Don't know. I know what they wanted it to be. They wanted a global we rule order of, Well, it looks like the people don't like that, so now what are they going to do? Climate change and sustainability. Now they were using Europe and the stable strategic order and all that under the support of sustainability and climate change. Now, if we're going to be sustainable in climate and the earth, we got to have a stable strategic order that we can tell everybody what to do for Europe and the world. Well, that was the whole justification for all the stable strategic order. Number one, what's next for Europe? Climate change and sustainability. As far as I'm concerned, they're all part of the same thing. It's all about whatever excuse they can have for they all rule and run and stable for them. Okay. Well, who's threatening that? Number four, China. Number five, Russia. Number six, the future of capitalism. Dead. We must be killed and kind of. And why are they going the future of capital? How about future of freedom? How about just, you know, leave me aloneism? So capitalism is seen as what? An enemy? A friend? A device for lifting people out of poverty? It's a problem? I don't know. Brexit. Number seven, Brexit. You know, I think the way it was supposed to be is 2 years comes up and the hard fork. You can't come up with a deal in March and you're done. It's supposed to be done already. This March, you had your chance and done. Well, we're not done, kind of done. What do you mean you're not done? You had to vote and went through the Article 50, whatever the hell they call it, of how and check this box and do it, and we're done. Nope, not allowed because we said you're not done. Really? All right. So what do you do then? Well, we're going to do it October. So Nigel Farage gets the FDI. It's a hard Brexit. It's October. It's done. They pushed it off and did kind of the October and done. We got to work out something in October. So what do they got to do? What October surprise are they going to have? You know, so they don't have to. Now, we talked to Donna, communicated with Barry Kerwin from Ireland, and he's in the middle of dealing with local politic and court crap on mortgage something. He was telling us about it before, and he's just busy. He's got some other guys that we might be able to talk to about Brexit and so on out of the United Kingdom. And so I'm like, yeah. You know, so we'll take his advice. We'll talk to some guy on that. Brexit. The ethics of artificial intelligence. If artificial intelligence wants to rule us, it's a character trait inherited from the crown. They're going to program it to do whatever the hell they want it to do. Or is it going to program itself? Google has every single publication, book, anything ever published being scanned in and copy recognition, you know, optical copy OCR, I think that's what it is, read into the computers. And it's, you know, making it available for everyone. They got all these stations, turning pages, boom, 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 boom. Scanning in every publication humanity has ever done. Did you guys know about this project? It's being done. That's a bunch of garbage, but I mean, you know, you got a lot of crap, but it got published. You know, somebody at least spelled well enough that they published it, and in all languages. So all this human mind is just dumped on to a computer hard drive. Now what? Now they can get your facial recognition. I mean, they can have video in real time, say whatever they want of you. What, they don't have enough video of me? They can do whatever the hell they want. Will you know by what I say? Is there enough that you go, nah, that's probably not Ernie saying that. He got a special shot or something. There's something wrong here. The ethics of artificial intelligence. Ethics. Whose ethics? What the hell is an ethic with them? Do they even know what ethics are? I got them determining what the ethics of artificial intelligence is going to be? Wow. The weaponization of social media. So are they saying, like, we're weapons of social media? The individuals can do it? That we should be, you know, squashed and you got to have the right opinion about something? You're not saying it right? You're banned? The weaponization of social media. Is the banning the weaponization, or the people that need to be banned? Are they the weaponization? See my point? It just depends on their perspective. The importance of Space Force. The importance of space. Well, I tell you the importance. You know, and then the last one here is cyber threats. The importance of space right now is going to be Elon Musk is just slapping everybody across the face all over the place. You have, you know, whether you're a big supporter of what he does and how he does it and who doesn't pays for and kind of in the stock price of, we got Eric Peters coming on Friday and he's definitely going to dump on Elon. I'm going to stay out of the way. I'm just going to, all right, yeah, blah, 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 blah. What the hell is your thing against electric cars and sure as hell Tesla? Well, now you have him putting up satellites for communication. All this stuff I've been talking about. Will it be for freedom? Is it going to be controlled? Is it going to be who has access and who doesn't? Ones and zeros that can and can't go? Is it going to interface with my IPFS? See my point? These are a lot of the important issues that what? That challenge they, them, those control of me and you.
From the fourth letter of Captain Mark. Landlubbers are conditioned to believe that the originators of an idea deserve exclusive rights to it, but these innovators are nothing but privateers, granted a monopoly by the crown. Potential inventors are restricted from using their own property and forced to navigate a wilderness of prohibited ideas. These pattern monopolies are intellectual colonization. This alliance of means between the crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture, in which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to develop. But their objectives are different. The crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. The future belongs to individuals who think, speak, and act freely to create and share without reservation. Join the conversation at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
Did you know we've taken our LRN.FM telephone listen line to a new level with the LRN.FM audio on demand line? Now you can call 712-770-8447 anytime and listen to LRN.FM's live feed. And you can listen to a bunch of our original shows on demand. Long distance fees may apply. Just dial 712-770-8447 and choose from the menu. 712-770-8447.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Okay, attendees. The Bilderberg 2019 thing. God, man. All right. Now, it goes in alphabetical, you know, from Stacey Abrams, USA founder, chair, Fair Fight, whatever the hell that is. And then it goes to 1, 2, 3, and a little bit of pages all the way to Zetsky, Dieter Zetsky, former chairman, Daimler. You know, Daimler-Benz? You know, it's... Yeah, God. Okay, so I just went through and highlighted some names. I just got up to F, okay? So I just, well, we'll start off with the chairman. Here we go. Steering committee, chairman, Henry DeCastries. Henry DeCastries is the head of some big, giant, largest out of France. The Castries family has a bunch of stuff, and he's mainly known right now for insurance. So it's a big, giant gazillionaire of whatever. Now, they are the ones, through their investment venture capital firms, you know, directed by, I get they, them, those, him. Henry DeCastries is now the guy behind the money that went to Blockstream, which took over development of Bitcoin. So you scratch the surface and all this weird stuff that Bitcoin's been doing and wanting to make it, you know, banker-friendly and compliant with the government of compliancy. And you go, who's doing what the money guy? And DeCastries, that's the head and chairman again. I think it was last year or a couple of years ago. Again, he's running Bilderberger 2019 in Switzerland. Bitcoin. You feel me? So when you're going to Space Force and satellite communicate, what role are they going to play in that one? All right, let's go over some names. Audrey Azoulay. International Director General UNESCO. So we got the UN represented in there. James Baker. Now, this is the United States of back in the 70s, 80s, whatever. Baker. Director, Office of Net Assessment, Office of the Secretary of Defense. What? Well, he's not Secretary of Defense now, but I guess he was, so he gets to go. Well, they never go away. Jose Manuel Barroso, Chairman, Goldman Sachs International, former President, European Commission. Yep. Sven Richard de Bradsve. Chairman, Norwegian University of Science and Technology. The Governor of the Bank of England, Mark Carney. Yay. Francos Felipe Champagne, Minister of Infrastructure and Communities in Canada. Canada's got a Minister of Infrastructure and Communities. So that's like HUD, Housing and Urban Development. You know, it'd be the same kind of, you know, the housing the slaves. Matthew Daniels, New Space and Technology Projects, Office of the Secretary of Defense. So here's your Space Force crap, okay? Then we have James O. Ellis, Chairman, Users Advisory Group, National Space Council, USA. National Space Council. There's going to be a lot of space stuff going on. Danish Defense Intelligence Service goes on, blah, 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 blah. President of this and co-founder of that. Oh, Reid Hoffman, co-founder, LinkedIn, partner, Greylock Partners. So these are venture capital guys and everything. Yeah, see the social media stuff. You know, you start looking through here and you start seeing all kinds. Senior advisor, Jared Kushner is going to be there. Senior advisor to the president, the White House. And you got head guys, federal minister of defense for, you know, this country and that country and, you know, this banking thing and this big conglomerate of and editor-in-chief of Bloomberg, John Micklethwaite. All right, whoever that is. Editor-in-chief of The Economist, Minton. President of this and co-this and founder and chairman and a bunch of they rule us. You know, Peter Thiel. President of Thiel Capital. So Peter Thiel will be there. Is he representing what? See, where the real decisions are made. So Bilderberg 2019. So it's time to get Luke back on. Should we talk to Luke before or after? Well, he's during right now, so we'll talk after. Maybe next week or the week after. Donna, Luke. Okay? So, which don't mean nothing. I got to write it down and put it on the mirror. So what we're going to do is look at after this. There's going to be a lot of reports of after this. And it's in time for what? Elon Musk just put up a bunch of communication satellites. So now what? This is what they don't want, is you and I being able to communicate on every level. We're seeing it. You know, this IPFS thing, if they can, they'll try and stop it. But it doesn't matter. We got, you know, backup data and all the synced up computers anyway. It's how people get it through the gateways. You know, they can access it. The backup of the data, we got, you know, how big a data do we need? Is it too big? Is it too much that we have? Do we overload it? We need to know this. You know, 400 gig, boom, here it is, and the addressing system. Whoa, holy crap. We didn't expect all one kind of, you know, damn. And I go, yeah, it's going to be a freaking tsunami. Where do you think all these guys that left Facebook, now what? There's going to be something else. If you want to be that something else, better be ready to scale. Let's do it. So we're looking at that. Israel and Palestine. Well, what we got to talk about? Israel's role in 9/11. FBI evidence supports prior knowledge and complicity. This is by Philip Giraldi. Philip Giraldi, man, he doesn't, you know, pull any punches, and the boy's got some, got some street cred here. The tale of 9/11 will just not go away. Excuse me. Largely because it is clear to anyone who reads the lengthy 9/11 Commission report that many issues that should have been subject to inquiry were ignored for what would appear to be political reasons. The George W. Bush administration quite obviously did not want to assume any blame for what had happened, and that bias also extended to providing cover for the U.S. allies, most particularly Saudi Arabia and Israel. Those who have sought the truth about 9/11 have been persistent in their attempts to find out information that was suppressed, but they have been blocked repeatedly in spite of numerous FOIA requests, Freedom of Information Act. Now, 18 years after the event, there has been something like a breakthrough. Penetrating the wall of silence erected by the government, FBI reports on the possible Israeli role in 9/11 were released on May 7th, and they serve to support speculation by myself and other former intelligence officers that Israel, at a minimum, had detailed prior knowledge of what was to take place. More than that, Israeli intelligence officers working in the United States might well have enabled certain aspects of the conspiracy. To recount some of what is already known and suspected, one should first examine the 2016 release of a heavily edited and redacted 28 pages long annex to the 9/11 Commission report that explored the Saudi Arabian role in the terrorist attack. The section concluded that the Saudi government may have played a direct role in 9/11 by assisting two of the hijackers, including a dry run exercise intended to learn how to get into a plane's cockpit. There was also considerable evidence suggesting that wealthy Saudis and even members of the royal family had been supporting and funding Al-Qaeda. And then it goes on and on and on. Shocking. I'm Philip Giraldi. We've had Philip on before, I think. Yeah, go ahead and see if Philip will come on and talk about this. Being intelligence officers, this is where... what's her name? That does Newsbud now. I got her book here somewhere. She was Iranian, and she spoke. Do you remember who I'm talking? Sabelle Edmonds. Sabelle. So Sabelle Edmonds is, she's doing her own subscriber. You're paying for, we're going to get the information of the real Gladio of, they're going to take over the planet from, and what's going on in Turkey and Iran and a lot of that. I go and check that, you know, on a regular basis. And sometimes we put summaries up of it and links to her sites. And then you want to read the rest of it, you got to subscribe. But there's a lot of information. You know, if you can speak the language, if you know what's in the press, Erdogan talking about what's the deals with Russia and the missiles and, you know, the trade with Iran and China. And right, if you really, you know, want to know what's going on, there are places to find the information. It's not what you're being told. There is a concentrated effort to go after America and her interests. And a lot of it is just because it's people. They're just pissed. Now, Bilderberger, they need America. They're all about America, America money, America, you know, tech, America surveillance, America, 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 banking, 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 America banking. So at some point, it's going to get out of their control. You're not going to go negative interest rates enough. You're not going to be able to pass enough laws. You're not going to be able to spend enough money. You're not going to be able to print enough paper.
Hang out with